Well, it's time now for our press review with Antonia Kerrigan. We've already talked about Steve Bannon's release from prison. So less than a week before Election Day, Antonia, does the press see this making a difference?
Well, let's start by looking at a piece from the New York Times. The headline, Bannon's release from prison will unleash an agitator into an already heated campaign. This article says that came out just in anticipation, just before he gave his freedom press conference, if you will. They say he left a void when he went to prison, and 4 months later he's been tracking the race from the inside and he has come out ready to push Trump supporters to the polls. This article very much portrays him as a leading light of the MAGA movement. Mike Davis, who is one of the potential candidates to be Attorney General should Trump be elected, so part of that entourage, has described Bannon as an intellectual leader and a general of the MAGA movement. And his very colourful description of what was to happen, he said that Steve Bannon will come out of prison a week before the election like a roaring, caged lion. Well, let's now look at a piece from the Daily Beast where it makes it look like that was all a little bit of a disappointment. It says, clown upstages Bannon as MAGA mastermind bows to Musk and gets iced by Trump. There's a lot of content in that headline. In short, this is a reaction to the post-release press conference. The clown they refer to is this comedian. Now, this comedian had very much stolen the show from Steve Bannon. He went viral. He was booed in the room, booed out of the event, but he went viral on the internet. He interrupted the press conference to say, Steve, I'm wondering, when's the next insurrection? And can we storm the Burger King after this? So, in short, very much stole the limelight from Bannon. This article's thesis is very much that the MAGA movement has gone without him for these past few months, and Elon Musk is now Donald Trump's celebrity right hand. Bannon had once upon a time, not so long ago, referred to Elon Musk as a war profiteer, as a globalist who would take a check from Adolf Hitler himself due to his business interests in the United States' adversary, China. But this time, it's been a bit of a change of tone. He's kissed the ring, as the article says. He described Musk as having gone through a great awakening. The article also points out that Steve Bannon did not speak at the Allentown rally that happened last night. And at the time of the conference, there were no plans scheduled for him to join Trump on the final days of the campaign. So it looks like he went away to prison and now he's out and he's out in the cold. He's no longer in that inner circle with Donald Trump and his campaign.
All right, Antonia, moving south now to the Amazon rainforest. While the COP16 for biodiversity is still ongoing and looking for new ways to protect our natural world, it seems that others are innovating to destroy it. What can you tell us about chemical deforestation?
Yes, this is a piece in the New York Times, a long read about this phenomenon of chemical deforestation. If you look at that absolute desolate wasteland, I can tell you a bit more about it. So Brazil generally monitors deforestation using satellite images on which you can track the abrupt disappearance of trees through things like fires and chainsaw demolition, if you will. However, there have been an estimated 180 square miles of Brazil chemically deforested since 2010. Now, this is a specific area in the Pantanal wetland, which is the world's largest wetland, an essential area for the protection of biodiversity, in which an area the size of New York City was dried out and died off, prosecutors think, by herbicide. When authorities went to the site, they discovered cattle roaming and stashes of huge quantities of empty herbicide containers. The land belongs to a rancher named Claudice Oliveira Lemes, who is an international beef magnate, if you will, and he has now been charged by Brazilian authorities for one of the country's biggest single acts of illegal deforestation in its history. Prosecutors are calling for him to pay $1 billion in compensation if found guilty. They say there is evidence that he hired a plane to spray the chemicals and that he made a purchase of $3 million worth of toxic defoliants. Authorities in Brazil suspect this is a much more common practice than we realise, but it is difficult to prove. What's for sure is it does lasting damage, leaving these toxic herbicides in the soil, which can also, of course, pollute the waterways, not to mention the fact that aerial spraying of herbicides can, of course, have an extremely dangerous impact on human health.
All right, and finally, Antonia, you're going to tell us about a lost Mayan city that was rediscovered in the Mexican jungle.
Absolutely, Karis. So a number of outlets have this story. BBC has the headline, PhD student finds lost city in Mexico jungle by accident. Now, the city is called Valeriana, and here is the map of Valeriana, thought to have been home to 30 to 50,000 people at its peak between 750 and 850 BC. Now, it was covered up by the canopy of trees. If you've got the Guardian's got these comparative images, that's an aerial image. You can't necessarily see the outlines of a civilization, whereas this, I mean, I'll admit I can't see the outlines of a civilization on that, but this PhD student could. He was able to identify that this town had pyramids, sports fields, causeways and amphitheatres. Now, the story is quite amusing. This PhD student wanted to use LIDAR technology, that's a type of laser technology, to map this area, but it's extremely difficult to get funding for that. It's extremely expensive, but he had the idea that scientists use that technology too for things like ecology, forestry and engineering. And he was absolutely right. He was on apparently page 16 of a Google search when he happened upon these LIDAR surveys of the area. And when he applied archaeological techniques to them, he was able to see the outlines of a Mayan civilization, a Mayan settlement. He says that LIDAR surveys actually exist of 10 times the area that has been mapped by archaeologists in the Mesoamerican region. So there are many, many more sites potentially to be found by accident in the way that he found this one, although he does give a note of caution, which is that unfortunately there will be many more found than we can ever hope to study.
All right, fascinating stuff. Thank you very much, Antonia Kerrigan, for that look at the papers. Thank you to you for watching. We're going to take a short break. More news.